we're family. I tell you, Stephanie and Colin are closer to me than my own sisters. Colin knows how much I love my sisters. But you are, buddy. I'm just so happy for you. I know it's perfectly matched. I was waiting. Oh, and it's so true what she said in her prayer. God gave me the passage of Scripture, what he wants me to talk about at your wedding, and it's exactly what Evelina prayed. I can't believe how right on the Lord is. It's an art to listen to him. Do you believe me? It's a skill. I still don't know how to do it. But when I hear it, I just explode when I hear his voice. Lord, please today, I ask you with my feeble words, I ask you, I love what Bobby said. I come to you with nothing in my hand. I come to you as a weak and broken person. I come to you like that. But I know that you live inside of all of us. And I pray that you would rise up, Lord, rise up. Rise up so we can hear your voice. Anything that's from me, dismiss it from people's minds. Anything from you, explode it with joy. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, this is, I'm going, where am I? Oh, yeah, okay. Boy, you got me going. Try and focus now. Okay, here we go. C.S. Lewis, he says this, all earthly experiences will fade. Not as a candle flame that is put out, but as a candle flame that becomes invisible. Because someone has pulled up the blind, thrown open the shutters, and let in the blaze of the risen sun. Every experience is going to fade compared to seeing Jesus. Every one. And we see Jesus in his life, just pockets of his glory. Just little pockets. And I want to share one with you. Because I'm preaching on the kingdom of God. Mark 9, 1 to 3. It's my introduction. And he said to them, I tell you the truth, some who are standing here will not taste death before they see the kingdom of God come with power. So you stop and you say, well, when will that happen? And then he goes into the next verse. After 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John. These are the guys who saw the kingdom of God with power. How? With him, and they led him up a high mountain where they were all alone. There he was, transfigured before them, and here is the kingdom of God coming with power. His clothes became dazzling white, whiter than anyone in the world could bleach them. He gives a little taste of the kingdom of God, just a taste with power. Jesus changes. I want to talk to you about that. The kingdom of God comes with a trumpet blast, with great power to make things right. I'm going to preach from here. I've never tried this. Revelation 11, 15 to 18. I'm going to read the verse 15. The seventh angel sounded his trumpet, and there were loud voices in heaven which said, the kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever. The kingdom of God comes with a trumpet blast. And it's funny, this is the seventh angel. There's seven trumpets. God does not do anything in the Bible just throwing things in. It's always a line, and it makes so much sense. And you wonder, why a trumpet? Why a trumpet? Why not a piano? Why a trumpet? Because in Numbers chapter 10, verse, I don't want to read the whole thing, but Numbers chapter 10, if you have a Bible, you can open it. If you don't, you can just write it down or just listen. Let it soak in. Numbers chapter 10, verses 1 and 2, that's all I want to read. You can read the rest about the trumpets. The Lord said to Moses, make two trumpets of hammered silver and used them for calling the community together and for having the camps set out. Okay? So they're used, a trumpet is used. If you keep going on, it's used to call them out into battle too. Okay, so you get two things if you read the whole thing. But it's used to call the community, come. All the whole community, come. So it makes a lot of sense, a trumpet now. Listen to the Apostle Paul in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 15 to 18. According to the Lord's own word, I tell you that we who are still alive, who are left till the coming of the Lord will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet call of God. This is the seventh trumpet. This is what Paul's talking about in the seventh trumpet. The trumpet call of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever, with all the community of the faith. From the beginning of time to the end, all of us will gather. He's calling us, a community of faith. He blows a trumpet. Everybody rises and meets him in the sky. That's why the trumpet was meant way back in the Old Testament. But he planned it for this, with this great event, rising from the dead. Imagine that. You think you've had a rush. Nobody's had a rush like that. Nobody. Therefore, encourage each other with these words. Encourage each other with these words. The kingdom of God is people gathered together in Christ. See, Jesus, he also said it too. Matthew 24, 30 and 31. In the end of the age, he said the same thing. Listen to this. He goes, At that time, the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and all the nations of the earth will mourn. They will see the Son of Man. Hey, let's stop now. Why are they mourning? I'm telling you, man, listen to me very carefully. When Jesus comes a second time, it's called the great and dreadful day of the Lord. The nations will not want him to be a king. But they don't have any choice now. They're going to mourn. Because he is the King of Kings. And he's coming back to rule the earth and take it over. We, the church, will be right beside him. We'll be there with him. Jesus goes, they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with a loud trumpet call. There it is, the seventh trumpet. A loud trumpet call. And they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heavens to the other, gathering them all together. Trumpet. When you hear that sound, you don't even have a chance to get ready. You're either ready or you're not ready when you hear the sound. And it blows. And every believer that has the Spirit of God in him will hear that sound. And you will rise. And we'll all gather together, that song. When we all get together, what a rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing, shout the victory. It'll be a victory like you've never believed, man. We can't even get our heads around it. But you can feel it in your spirit. It's going to happen. You can just sense it. With a trumpet. A trumpet. It's going to sound. You know the seven trumpets, right? You know in the book of Revelations, right? They're all judgments. But they're all warnings. Every trumpet, read it. Boot! Sends a warning. Boom. Boot! Warning. Third trumpet. Fourth. Fifth. Warning. God is not fooling around. Trust me. He's not a mamsy-pamsy God. You hide in the shelter of the cross. You're outside of the cross. You're history. There is tremendous wrath coming. But if you hide in the cross, You hide in Jesus. You're safe. That's the only place. Everywhere else, it'll be totally obliterated. Every other hiding place. Remember what he says? They try and hide in the rocks in the ground. They try to hide in the caves. Hide us from the face of the Lamb. The wrath of the Lamb. Leonard Ravenhill says, you ever seen a lamb mad? It's awful. God's not coming back, man. He's coming back for his church, but he's coming back to take over. We don't know this kind of God. We know Jesus as gentle and kind and all that, but this is a God that's really holy, really righteous, really just. Really just. And you know what? My heart leaps that he's like that. I'm not just. I'm not holy. I'm not righteous. But Jesus made me that. Jesus gave me that. So I can stand with him like his bride, pure and spotless. You know what I mean? Everybody outside of that is dangerous. That's why we send the gospel call out. Come, be saved. Come, hide yourself in Jesus. Right? Because the kingdom of God also comes with great power. Great power. You read this. Look at this, 16 and 17. And the 24 elders who were seated on their thrones before God fell on their faces and worshiped God, saying, we give thanks to you, Lord God Almighty, the one who is and who was, because you have taken your what? Great power and have begun to reign. That verse has gripped me for years and years. You have taken your great power. You have taken your great power. You have it. And you have begun to reign. I said to God, how have you taken your great power? How have you done it? Hasn't happened yet. But listen to what the Apostle Paul says, what's going to happen. In Philippians chapter 3, 20 and 21, but our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, hear it? The power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly bodies so that they'll be like his glorious body. Let me tell you, that is power. You haven't seen anything like that. I haven't. That's power, his power. He enables to take everything under his control to transform your lowly body to be like his glorious body. That's power. That's how he reigns. That's how he's going to reign. He's not reigning from the outside in. He's reigning from the inside out. He's taking over you completely. He's going to reign. Whoa, you want to have hope? That's hope. We won't have no sinful nature. It'll be absolutely glorified body. No obstruction with God anymore. Pure. You and I don't know what that means, but it's coming. It's coming. God is removing sin nature. You won't have that anymore. You won't think God's so, oh, you're mean, God. God's not mean. God's righteous, just, holy. Nobody's going to side with human beings or you. You side with the Lord. You'll be pure. You'll see why. Wait till I finish my message. You'll see why, where I'm going with it. His power. We see power from man, who can blow up worlds and kill all kinds of people. And we see even nature that can destroy people, hurricanes, tornadoes, tsunamis. But you have never seen this kind of power. Nobody has. Nobody. And you know, the funny thing is, we think we're living in a fairy tale or a storybook. This is not a storybook. This is going to happen. This is why I preached it at the funeral at your brother's. This is why I really believe it with all my heart. We rise again when we put our faith in Jesus Christ. This is where all hope lies. Where if you don't have this, you have no hope. None. If you get away from this resurrection, you have no hope. All of a sudden, you start going down. The minute you put your eyes on Jesus, that he's going to raise you again, no matter what you go through, you can get through it. Because there's a day coming. He's going to make everything right. This is a glorious truth. I haven't preached on the second coming in years, man. I don't even know why. I just get pumped because it's the truth. It's the truth. I don't care what anybody says. This is the truth. I'm 60 years old. Okay, I'm 60 years old. I know you're going to laugh, okay? But I am 60 years old. I am. But I'm not joking, man. I don't care. The older I get, the closer I get to Christ. And if he doesn't take me, then he takes me gone. Anytime right now, it can happen. You know, Jesus Christ, he reigns. We don't see it yet. Not fully. But I know he reigns. I know he reigns over everything. Everything. Listen to this. 1 Corinthians 15, 25 and 26. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. Wow. Nobody can do that. You can't do it and I can't do it. We die. You die. You all die. But Jesus raises us up from the dead. He destroys death and he says, here's eternal life. Live with me forever. I'm going to tell you something. Listen to this too. Lazarus didn't even experience this kind of power. Yes, Christ raised him from the dead, but he died again. So he didn't have that kind of power. We're going to experience a power where he comes into us, we rise again, and we never change. We're glorified. No more repentance. Just worshiping God. What's that going to be like? I love singing now. I love it. But I don't think I'm going to be able to stop when I hit there. I don't think so. I think there's going to be some of you, you're going to have to get into the mode of singing. Trust me. Everybody. It's going to be wild. There are going to be things that you're going to get freaked out about. Paul talks about it this. Listen, just listen to this now. I'm going to share with you one thing. Why is Christ called the firstborn? You ever wonder why? He's called the firstborn. Come on, let's have a Bible study. Seriously, and I'm not going to, no dumb answers, trust me. Just throw it out. What's that? Correct. Now, I've got to back it up. Right? Colossians chapter 1, verse 18. That's why it's good that the body speaks and then we back it up from here. Because if somebody can talk, you can't back it up, it doesn't mean nothing, not anything. But if you can back it up here, yes, it means something. So Colossians 1, 18, it goes like this with what my sister said. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. Okay? So he's the firstborn. Revelations chapter 1, verse 6. Another firstborn. Same thing. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth, to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood. Okay? So he's the firstborn. It says, from the dead, right? But it goes more than that. He's the only one who has a glorified body. Nobody else has that. Not Moses. Not Abraham. Not anybody along. Nobody has it. So you know what? Guess what happened? Somebody in the funeral last Saturday comes up to me. I'm serious. They come up to me, and this is what they say. Where does... And I really let her fly because I believe Nathan's in heaven. I let her fly. And I do believe it. My conviction. And I think I'll meet him again and praise the Lord. Because I don't think it has anything to do with what I do or what I don't do. It has everything that you receive Jesus. You trust him. That's it. So he's in heaven, right? Somebody comes up to me and says, okay, Pastor, I want to ask you a question. You said that he's with Christ in paradise. Is his body there? What's there? And I said to them, because I've been thinking about this a long, long time. I just looked at them and I said, listen, remember when it says, when we fall asleep and we're asleep, when we're asleep in Christ, it's when our body goes and it goes back to the dust. That's sleeping. But our soul and our spirit goes up into paradise. And we wait. But when he blows the trumpet, that's when the dead rise and their body glorified meets the soul and the spirit, and they join together. Jesus has that, but he's going to give it to us. We'll be like him. We shall see him as he is, and we will be like him. You get it, everybody? It's very important to understand that. Present, absent from the body, present with the Lord. If I died, like I was here 2 years ago, 3 years ago, had a heart attack, I would have died, I would have been instantly with him. Huh! Maybe I shouldn't have been scared. I still am scared. But I'm getting over it. I'm just getting over it. It's a cross over. You know what I mean? Don't tell me you're not afraid. That crossing over. Come on. Maybe you're not. Maybe I'm the only one. But once I get there, oh, can you imagine? Hugging Jesus. Julie, hugging Jesus. Mom and Dad never helped me. Nobody helped me but Christ. I have to hug him. I weep telling him, thank you. Without you, Lord, I wouldn't have made it. Everyone in this room is in the same boat. There will be so many tears, but joyful tears. All of us in this room have so much to give to the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the thing is, the eternity is really the spiritual realm. Eternity is the spiritual realm. There's a physical realm and there's a spiritual realm. And the spiritual realm made the physical realm. So this is all not real right now. You're living in Matrix. Yeah, it's funny, but it's the truth. That's a really beautiful movie. Right now, everything is not real. It's very transcendent. That's it. What's that? Hey, what does the transcendent mean? It means, go ahead. Come on, help me. That's right. It's like a breeze. It's like really, nothing is real. Everybody is so, we get all caught up because you know what happens? We hold on to people so tight, but they're going, man. Say that? Yeah, that's right. That's right. Christ's blood is the red pill. Oh, I almost lost my teeth again. Oh, don't do that to me, man. That's true. The blood of Jesus Christ is the right pill. Oh, it's the red pill, but I call it the right pill. Sorry. Do you understand? You ever see The Matrix? Watch it. You'll see how the spiritual realm... Sorry, I lost everybody. Apologize. It talks about a realm where when everything is right here, but you go into the machines and that's the real thing. Everything is fake. Okay, and so this pill that they take, they start to see the reality of the truth. And so Christ shows us that this is all very, very gone. It's like a breeze. But the real McCoy is to be with Christ forever. That's the real thing. But you and I, we need the Holy Spirit to open our eyes to show us this. Even today. Because you can't do it on your own. I'm going to believe. It doesn't work like that. He just comes to you. He shows you. Nobody can take credit for this. Oh, I've got lots of faith. You know what I feel like telling you? Yeah, you got a lot of faith. Faith, yeah, right. Nobody has anything. And what Bob did today was just blew my mind when she did up here. That's what I feel like, honestly, lots of times. And nobody knows, but she said it perfectly. I come to you, Lord, as nothing. I have nothing. I'm not joking. She hit it right on the head. I just about hugged her. She hit, honestly, and she goes, and I know she doesn't like the hug. I got punched right in the nose. I was really scared. Okay? So I know she doesn't like that, but I almost came close because that's the way I felt it. And I think it's the way to come at preaching. I think it's the way to come at God with prayer. I think it's the way to come at God with everything. I'm nothing. I have nothing. Help me. And he comes. Because that's the purity of humility. When you think you're good, oh, you got a huge problem. When you think you can pray good and preach good, you got a huge problem. I just heard a leader, a guy, this is really true, a high up, and they fired him from his church. And if I told you who, I'm not going to say. You know who it is. You know who it is. I'm going to tell you, pride, I sensed it with this man. I sensed it. The way, because you cannot come at the church in a hurtful way. It's his church. God removes people like that. That's pride. Leaders are to be humble. I have nothing to offer you guys, but the Lord does. I'm a beggar and you're a beggar. We're looking for the bread, amen? Haven't I been like that with you? I want to be more like that. And when she said it, I have to be like that to get through till I go and meet Jesus so I meet him in a right way. Amen? Because pride's so awful, especially when you preach the scriptures and you know it pretty so-so. You can get real, let me use the word, cocky. I can get cocky. Leaders can get cocky. I don't need to listen to anybody. Yes, you do. We all need to have accountability, every one of us, until Jesus comes back. Amen? So anyways, side note, apologize. I just thought of that. Eternity is the spiritual realm, and we need a spiritual body to be part of it, all of us. Okay? So everybody in this room, you will die, and if you're saved, you're going to have a spiritual body. If you don't, you're going to be like that man. The best parable, I think, that Jesus ever, well, he did a lot of them, but the one he did, it says, you who have no clothing, how did you get in here? And he's talking about the spiritual body. You're getting it. You enter eternity without a spiritual body. The only place you can be put is in the lake of fire. Because you can't be there. That's why how serious this is. Paul talks about it. Listen to what he says. 1 Corinthians 15, 42, 44. So will it be with the resurrection of the dead. The body that is sown is perishable. It is raised imperishable. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown naturally. It is raised a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. So this is where we're going for. Hey, can you imagine? I have aches and pains in my legs. I'm starting to get crazy stuff happening to me. But a brand new body. It's spiritual. I don't know what this is. The only evidence that you have of this body is Christ when he walked on the earth. He went through walls. They couldn't recognize him until he let them. Pretty neat. I tell you, man, I can't wait to get into that. What do you think of that? I can't get my head around it, but it looks like it's going to be pretty fascinating. But I think the best thing of it all is that death is destroyed. Death is destroyed. No more fear of death. Now we live forever. The second coming is our hope. The kingdom of God is our hope. Trump can do whatever he wants. Prime Minister Trudeau, we got to pray for them. We got to pray, but that's not what I don't even care anymore. We're coming to the end. He's coming. And I can't wait. Don't put your hope in this. This is a Titanic sinking. This is not a joke. Don't put your hope in any human being, whoever they may be. Him. He's coming again. This is the victory we have. He's given us a victory, man, like you'd never believe. We don't even know how big it is until we get there. I love Paul's writings. I really do. I get freaked out by him. I can't wait to meet that guy. Who's with me? Man, oh man. I keep saying this to this church, but I'll tell you one thing. You know what I really can't wait? When Paul is there with Jesus and he's asking Jesus questions and I'm sitting there. Can you imagine that? The Apostle Paul asking Christ questions and I can sit and listen. Who would you like to listen to? Yeah, Jesus, no doubt about it. But who? Who would you like to be listening to? This is going to be an amazing, amazing, amazing party for all of us. I am not speaking as a fairy tale. Like you prayed, thank you, Lord, for letting me be part of it. It's the truth. I'm part of something huge. I'm a little tadpole in this big ocean of a redemption. But I'm in it. You're in it. We're saved by the blood of Jesus. I can't believe it. The kingdom of God is going to make everything right. Everything right. Everything. Everything right. You know what? I'm going to tell you something. Listen to this. You ever wonder? I don't know if you're like me, but I get all freaked out. In verse 18, it says, the nations were angry and your wrath has come. The time has come for you judging the dead and for rewarding your servants, the prophets and your saints, those who reverence your name, both small and great, and for destroying those who destroy the earth. Have you ever wondered, what does he mean when he says he judges the dead? Oh, I can see him judge you. You're alive. He'll judge you. Yeah, he judges the living. And then Paul says this in 2 Timothy 4:1, in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing in his kingdom, I give you this charge. What is judge the dead? And then it was so simple. This stuff is so simple if the Holy Spirit shows you. It's like, what? Are you serious? Is it that simple? When you're not alive in Christ, you're dead in your sins. And when people rise and they don't have Christ, he will judge the lost and they'll be cast in the lake of fire. That's what that means. Judge the dead. And if you look at Revelations chapter 20, 11 to 15, four times it says, the dead are judged, the dead are judged, the dead are judged. That's the lost, casting them into the lake of fire. The living is us. And how we're judged? Reward. That's a judge. Here, come and spend time with me. Come with me forever. That's what we get. He is our reward. Should we not preach the gospel? Should we not tell other people about this? I got it for free. You got it for free. Everybody else deserves to hear this. But there is a, hey, listen, and you know what? This is not comfortable. When I preach on hell, I'm telling you, man, in churches now, they do not want to hear this. I'm not joking. Speak to me nice. Speak to me nice. Come on! Don't be mean! I'm telling you, man, it's heavy. When you do not talk about hell and casting people in the lake of fire and not give them an opportunity to receive Jesus, you cannot have good news if you don't have bad news. Make sure we really understand it in the times we live in now. Because it's all seeker sensitive. It's all, come, come, come. No, it's not like that. As a matter of fact, there's a remnant and people, some of them don't get saved. I know it's hard to chew on, and some get saved. It's chosen by grace, a remnant. And so I'm not here to bother people. You just preach the gospel. Throw, like a farmer, eh? Throw the seed. And I saw this guy, Mel Patrash, he was at your funeral, he was with me. 34 years ago, I preached the gospel to him, he's still walking with the Lord. And you know what God told me? You know what he said to me? This is what he said, fruit that lasts. You know David Wilkerson? Fruit that lasts. Why? Because it was from the Spirit. Not joking. Not everybody speaks in the Spirit. Not everybody sings in the Spirit. Not everybody acts in the Spirit. That's where the real test becomes when we go through that fire, presence of God, and flesh falls off, and the spirit, you get a reward. We all get checked out on this one. It's not scary. You're saved. Just get through. Maybe I might just walk out and my hair might be burning and everything, and, you know, I'll have no clothes on, but that's, you know, I'm there. But I hope that doesn't happen like that for me. You get me? So I'm just telling you, things will be made right on the second coming. Nobody is going to get away. And the best way for you guys to be safe is put your sins under the blood every day, morning by morning. Do not play games with this. And if you just keep coming to Jesus, He'll protect you. You're safe. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. We're safe. I'm going to end with just this thing. No, I'm not going to. Time I have? Let me finish one more thing. Can I finish one more thing? I want to show you something about God's, when he says wrath and when he says reward. I want to show you something what Paul says. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, 5 to 10. Listen to this. All this is evidence that God's judgment is right. As a result, you will be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which you are suffering. God is just. He will pay back trouble to those who trouble you and give relief to you who are troubled and to us as well. This will happen when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven in blazing fire with his powerful angels. He will punish those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. They will be punished with everlasting destruction and shut out from the presence of the Lord and the majesty of his power. That is judgment. That's wrath. People who reject Jesus, that happens. You cannot whitewater that. That's a truth. But what happens to you and I if we trust Jesus right to the very end? It's this: on the day he comes to be glorified in his holy people and to be marveled at among all those who have believed. This includes you because you believed our testimony. Hey, can you imagine? Imagine that. He doesn't just glorify himself. His church is in him and we get glory too. Wow! He loves the bride. He loves the bride so much. You getting it? Are you reading that? It's so beautiful. You think of it, and we can marvel at him. Just marvel at him. I don't know what that means. It's coming. It's going to be made right. Whatever pain you went through, God wipes your tears. I got an interesting thing here, and then you, when you guys come up here, you come up, and you come up rejoicing. If you believe in Christ and you believe in this stuff, you come up just rejoicing. Just the way you think I wasn't happy you guys got married. Be more happy. You've been married to the Lamb, but not yet. It's an engagement. This is an engagement. Paul says, I really am jealous for you. I'm jealous for you. It's an engagement. But come up and rejoice that he has promised himself to you because he gave his life. Isn't that beautiful? Come up and rejoice. Come up and thank the Lord in your heart. And then after you sit down, I'm going to ask you to pray and say, I'm going to say, what is something you could thank God for when he died for you all through your Christian? What is one thing that you get so blown away and you lift up your heart to Christ and say, God, thank you so much for taking me off the street. I don't know. That's me. For you, I don't know. Could be anything. Okay? I don't want to say any more. I think I did enough damage. You know, it's funny about preaching. You just don't know what is from the Lord, what's from Miles. I think about 90% is Miles, and about maybe 10% is the Lord. It's true. I'm being honest. I don't know. I hope it's from God. And he knows I love him. He really does. And I love the church. I want you to really think through it when you come up here. Come up rejoicing. He will never leave you or forsake you. Never. as long as you live. Come up and rejoice with me. Sit down, grab your thing, and then thank God for what you can thank Him for. Something big.